Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, tonight's the third part in our series. We're finishing out tonight a series entitled Mercy, Grace, and Justice. And we've had a couple of weeks off. I know Vina filled in last week. I heard she did an awesome job. I was very grateful for that while Amy and I were out of town and getting pulled over. And getting back to our third session here, I am excited to be able to wrap this up and connect the dots here as we do session three tonight, Getting What We're Owed. Now, in this session, we've spent the intro on mercy, and then the second session on grace, and now this third one is really on justice, but we're going to look at justice from a little bit different angle than maybe you would think tonight. One angle of justice for sure, and the way that we've talked about it in this series thus far, is referring to justice in the sense of God, the righteous judge, judging sin. And that's true, and we've been looking at that. But what I want to do tonight is I want to talk about this idea of getting what we're owed in the positive sense. Things that God says we're owed that are positive things that he then, as the God of justice, is going to see to it that we get those things. Because as the God of justice, he's going to perform his word. And so the God of justice is also the one that ensures that the saints who partner with him get what's coming to them for their partnership, for their involvement, for their agreement, for their participation, their service to him. He is the God who ensures that the saints that partner with him, according to his purposes and ways, get what's coming to them. And so I'm excited tonight to talk about the God of justice as the one who is looking out for us to see to it that the things that he said will happen for us, to us, in us, through us, will actually come to pass. That the Lord has got our back and he's looking out for us. Our purpose in doing this series wasn't to try to, you know, just have some trivia questions figured out about, you know, these three subjects and how they kind of weave together. The purpose of this series that we're doing has been to learn about God, to think about who God is, to recognize the way that he thinks, the way that he feels, the way that he processes, to think about him. And that as we focus on him, it gives us greater strength to then be able to live out life and pay attention when we see those aspects of his nature manifesting in our life, to be able to thank him, to be able to appreciate and see his hand in our lives. Well, what I want to start off with tonight as we are looking at the God who brings to pass the things that he says that we're owed is the barometer for justice. And what does that mean? Well, you got to figure, if God is really who he says he is, he's in charge of everything, he's the inventor of all things, he's perfectly wise, if those things are all true, then justice is whatever the heck he says it is. I mean, he's in complete control. If it is that God is who he says he is, and we believe that, then justice would be anything that he defines as justice. Anything that he has established, the very concept of justice is not a man-made idea. It's a God invention, and therefore God gets to write the rules on it. So now we know what justice is in the common sense. You know, we think about someone commits a crime, justice would be that they, you know, pay the penalty for the crime. We think about, you know, justice in the form of, you know, compensation, even like in a car accident. You know, it wasn't nobody's fault necessarily, but justice would be that this person has to pay for this and that kind of thing. We think about justice in those terms because that's part of what God established as the order of justice in the earth. But there's a second part, and that is, if he said it, then he's got to do it. And this is a very unique and interesting aspect that I think if we'll allow our hearts to put a lot of stock in God's word, in what he says, then I think that we can actually learn a little bit about justice and even this redefinition. Let's put up Numbers 23:19. You guys know the verse, but think about this. God is not a human. Other versions, God is not a man. That he should lie. Not a human being, that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill it? Why does this subject come up in the midst of a series on grace, mercy, and justice? Because justice is more than the weighing scale of, you know, of the justice system in the earth. Justice is the God who speaks things into being, the God who makes promises, the God who says stuff, then binds himself voluntarily to that which he has spoken. And now, God doing what God said God would do becomes an issue of justice, no matter what it is that he said. You're now talking about justice just because God spoke and said he would do something. Just because God allowed out of his infinite, out of his wisdom, out of his perfection to speak something. He lets nothing slip. No accident comes out of his mouth. And when he speaks something, now he of his own choosing has put himself on the scales of justice to perform it. When the Lord speaks what the Lord has said, it's now an issue of justice or injustice for him to do what he said. Well, that's pretty intense. But God does what he says, and he's not a man that he lies. It's impossible for him to lie. So he's fully secure, and he doesn't accidentally say things. That which comes out of his mouth was on purpose, even if we thought it was like, oh, I got you in an arm bar. I know that you didn't mean to say this, and that somehow it just slipped out, and that I've found a loophole in the system. There's no such thing. You're not going to get one up on God. If he said it, it was intentional. And if he said it, we can count on it. We can trust what the Word of God says. This is really good news. Well, I'll give you a simple equation out of Luke 18. We know Luke 18 because we talk about prayer around here. But I want us to look at Luke 18, 1 through 8 here for a second, a little excerpt out of Luke 18, 1 through 8. Not about prayer merely, but about an equation. Because I think there's an equation found in Luke 18 about God regarding justice that's broader than the concept of prayer. Let's read it. And Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he'll see to it that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, we're used to looking at this parable and talking about the issue of prayer, and that's what the parable is primarily about, is about prayer and about God saying, you know, that if you won't give up in the area of prayer, specifically night and day, then God will bring about justice. But here's even a little bit more, that's the close-up look. Take one step back and let's see it as an if this, then this clause. Let's see it as an equation. God says, if you'll do something, and then he lists the something, then you can count on me to do something as a response. If you do this, I'll do this. This is actually a statement about how justice works according to the kingdom of God. God makes a statement, if you'll do this, in this particular case, night and day prayer, then I'll bring about justice. God promises the answer of justice. But the equation is true no matter what it is that God would say. If God says, if you stand on your head, you'll get a headache. Well, you're going to get a headache if you stand on your head. He didn't say that. But my point is that whatever it is that he has established in his word, whatever he has spoken, it's now a promise that he will actually perform it. If he gives those if this, then this clause. Well, the word of God is filled with those. Filled with them. Now, the reason I want to bring our attention to this is because I want us to be able to fellowship with God as the God of justice, who's looking out for our good, who wants to do good for us, and who has written into the Bible many, many if this, then this clauses that he promises to perform. That he is the God of justice. He is the one who said it. He's the one that laid out the equation. He's the one that laid out the strategies. And if we will follow those things, if we'll do our part, weak as it is, then he promises to do his part. I think about this. This is just like unbelievable that the God of heaven, infinite God, would even allow us to enter into such a contract with him. But look what's being said just even in this passage alone. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who do something? Who do night and day prayer? Well, if they do it, I tell you, this is Jesus, I tell you the truth. God will respond and God will see to it. The God of justice will see to it that if they do this, they'll get this from God. God promises it. This is how he operates. For us to think this way and for us to recognize through the pages of the scripture, we're actually able to see a judge who likes us. A judge who's on our side. I can remember, oh, this is going to be so random. Sorry, it's one of those things that just came into my head. You're stuck. I can remember being like maybe 15 and being, I mean, you know, every 15-year-old's trying to find themselves, and I was a giant train wreck. I had long hair. It was down to my, you know, past my chin. I've got one picture. Nobody else would take it. So I got one cool picture. You can pay me for it. And so I got hair down to my chin. I'm a skater, but I can't skate. You know how all that is. I'm a mess, okay? And there's a state trooper. Constable. There's a constable, not a state trooper. There's a constable that lives like two streets over from me. And he knows I'm kind of like a punk and kind of get into trouble and stuff. And he was shooting this video, all right? And in this video, it was for some, you know, part of the, you know, Justice Department or something for, you know, local whatever in law enforcement. It was trying to paint judges in a better light so that
I did the video. I still don't know why I did it. Maybe because they paid me.
He asks me to do this video and to act, to be an actor in his video and to be the punk kid that gets arrested for doing whatever, you know, mischief I had done in the video. And then to come into the court and now to have a conversation with the judge and to have this conversation with this judge who's going to try to be like human to me, have that human interaction kind of win me over and kind of wash off my punkness. And I come into the courtroom all, you know, man, I'm mad, I'm upset, I'm a teenager. And then I'm supposed to leave, like, a little bit happier because the judge was trying to work with me and, like, you know, reduce my sentence and that kind of thing. I told you, I don't know why I told the story. So, anyway, it's like that, okay? Only no video and it's real. The judge actually likes us. He's trying to wash off our punkness. He likes us. It's real. God is actually a judge who we walk into the courtroom, if you will, and in this case, it's a courtroom and a settlement that's going to go positive in our favor, and there's this judge across the bench smiling at us who is very much on our side, very much in our court, and I think we're actually supposed to think about that a little bit as we read the scripture and we see the if this, then this clauses. It's a God of justice who wrote it of his own choosing. It's a God of justice who put himself on the stand, if you will. He said it. He didn't have to say it. Like, Lord, you could have made the Bible thinner. You know, only included a third of what you put in there. He wrote it. He means it. He said it. He's serious. But because he wrote it, because he's God, it's now an issue of justice. And there's this God, this judge sitting across the bench who's smiling at us. And these justice issues, he's inviting us in to take him serious, to take him at his word, to believe what he said. You know, if it were any other person trying to put God into a bind, to bind him to his word, you said it, you got to do it. If it were any person shaking their fist at God, it would be totally silly and, of course, you know, of no impact whatsoever. But God did it to himself, of his own choosing, in perfect sovereignty, he said stuff with full intention to then do what it is that he said. God wants us to take him up. It's like a dare. I feel the dare. The Lord is daring us to believe that that which he said, he will be just to perform. That which he wrote. I think about this and I'm like, this has so much impact for us. When we start thinking about the God of grace, of mercy, and of justice, not just justice to judge sin because it's wrong, but to judge your lives according to your participation and to see to it that you get the good that's coming to you. It's super encouraging. Once he speaks something into existence, it's now an issue of justice for him to perform it. Well, let's look at a couple of these. I didn't want to just give us an intro and then be done, though some of you probably are already ready after that analogy, right? Wow, that was a rough one. Let's give a couple examples of what I mean by this. One, it is justice for God to reward the generous. It's an issue of justice because he said it. You guys know Luke 6:38, but I want you to now think about Luke 6:38 in terms of the smiling judge on the other side of that bench who penned the law himself and who's now looking to perform this thing in your life. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap, for with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. This is a promise from heaven that God wants to reward generosity. This is kind of like a secret that Jesus comes and announces very loudly. I mean, you think about this, and it's like, if you've ever had like a really rich friend, you know something about really rich people, that they don't really like everybody to know that they're rich. I mean, if they're humble and godly. They don't like really want everybody to know that they're rich because they don't want people to like hit them up for money, like take advantage of them. You know, I'm like, you know, hey, I recognize that you're super rich. I could use a house too. Want to buy me one? Third request this week, actually. So no. There's this desire to not have it all be known. And yet, in this case, we're talking about the richest man ever. And the son comes to the planet and starts telling on him, saying he's so rich, loaded, and he wants you to take advantage of him by pressing in according to his terms. He says there's a way to get to daddy's pocketbook. Give away your money. Given it will be given to you, and it will be given back to you in crazy ways that's way more lavish than whatever it is that you gave. This is Jesus, like, telling on God, telling the secrets of heaven. He's sharing, you know, like the family heirloom secrets. You know, it's like all this money and inheritance that's in the kingdom, and Jesus is just throwing it out there. Like, if you want in, here's how you do it. And now because he said it and he's God, he's on the line to do it. And he wants to. Well, God is just. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 7 on this issue. It says, God is just. He'll pay back trouble to those who have troubled you and give relief to you who are troubled, to us as well. This will happen when the Lord is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. Now, one side of this, because I'm thinking about the many of you in the room that have believed Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you, and you've been doing it. And there's been a pause for many of you. There's been a very difficult pause where you've been doing the Luke 6:38 part, your part, and it hasn't been working. You're like, give and it'll be given to you. Doing the first part, give. What about the give and to you part? Stuff keeps breaking. And you feel troubled. And you feel like it's not working. And God promises that at the very least, he is just and he'll pay back this trouble and you can count on inheritance in the next life, in the next age. It says when he comes back with his powerful angels, he will give relief to you. God's just. He'll make right the things that you feel like have been wrong. You go, okay, well, great, but this whole given it will be given to you thing, I don't want to have to wait until I die or Jesus comes back. Surely there's some, like, inheritance on this side too, right? Right. Justice in this age, in the area of you giving and it be giving back, given back to you, is promised. Look at Mark 10, 29 through 31. I'm talking about money here, but that's not my point. My point is, God said stuff, so he's going to do stuff. And we're using money as one of the points of conversation right now because it's something that he spoke a lot about in the Word. If you do this, then I'll do this. But that, what I'm really after tonight is us walking away with this issue of God being a God who does what he says he's going to do because he's a just God, and that's what justice is. But look what it does say. Now, you don't have to wait, not just the age to come on this given it will be given to you thing. Jesus says, truly, I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sister or mother or fathers or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. In this present age. The things that we have done for the Lord, the things that we have given for his sake, the things that we've left for his sake. He says, you will receive reward in this age, not just the age to come. The promise of the things that you do in this life, being rewarded in this life. Now, the reason that I've got a little bit of emotion about this one tonight is because there's so many of you in this room right now that have been living in the pause for too long. And you feel like, I can't go any longer waiting. You got to, because he's a God of justice and he's going to do it. Your pause has a play date. But I don't know what it is. I wish I did. Your pause, however, you need to interpret light rightly, because you haven't yet seen the fulfillment, but God said he is a fulfiller. God said, if you do this, I am going to do this. I'll do it in the land of the living. You'll see these things while you're alive. And so I just want to tell you to not misinterpret, misunderstand the pause. He's okay with pauses. I'm not. I would do it different, which is probably why he didn't elect me God. I don't like pauses. I want now. Instant gratification. Drive-through hamburger. That's what I want. And God's like, no, there's sometimes. But sometimes pauses, and those pauses are just as important. And sometimes more. And I know that many of you are living in the pause on the issue of finance, on the issue of some of the other stuff that we're going to talk about. There's just this delay. It looks like he's not a God of justice. Because you've been doing the thing that he said, if you do this, then I'll do this. But you've not seen the this yet. And I want to tell you, you can count on it. Because he's a God of justice. You just got to keep hanging on to that. It's not even really about you. Like, it's all about you hanging on. It's just believe that God's who he says he is. You believe he saved you, right? Why did you believe that? You just did. You knew it was who he was. You believed the story. Well, where'd you get that story? The Bible. Well, what about the stories that followed it and the ones before it? Believe those stories too. And these stories say, if you do this, I'll do this. Believe him as the God of justice. I mean, it's who he is. It's a part of his nature. We're not talking about God makes promises to some people and he does nice things for other people. And this, we're talking about the nature and character of the Creator, of our Savior, of our friend, of the righteous one. He's a God who does what he says. How about justice for faithfulness? So we just talked about generosity, justice for generosity. I mean, he said he'd do it. Now let's talk about justice for faithfulness, and faithfulness in a number of different ways. Kind of subdivide faithfulness here a little bit. Faithfulness for our labor, for our work, for our efforts. It says this in Proverbs 28, 18. Proverbs 28, 18 through 20 says, the one whose walk is blameless is kept safe, But the one whose ways are perverse will fall into a pit. Those who work their land will have abundant food. But those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. A faithful person will be richly blessed. A faithful person, a person who works hard. You know, this is another one where some of you guys might be going, I have been working my tail off at my job and I haven't gotten promoted yet. Keep working your tail off. Don't stop. Because the Bible says about God, in the area of reward for hard labor, it says those who work their land, the idea is that diligent working, it will pay off. A faithful person will be richly blessed. There might be several of you right now that you're like, this has not been working for me yet. I feel like I did my job hard. I feel like I did this. I feel like I did this. I can't promise you you're going to get that promotion or that raise or that this or that in the current environment. I can promise you God is watching you. And if you work hard, God will promote you. Now, that doesn't matter what your occupation is. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You might be working hard over here and then get promoted over there. You know, I think about, you know, Joseph. And Joseph was doing, you know, dungeon work pretty good. I mean, he was owning it in the dungeon. He learned how to be the best dungeoneer there ever was. But that wasn't the sphere of life he was going to get promoted into. The Lord had a completely different sphere. But the Lord was watching him dungeon. All those days and years, he was watching him. This guy works hard in the dungeon with the rats. Because he knew who his God was. He knew his God does Proverbs 28:18. He knew that if he'd work the land, he'd be provided for. He knew if he was faithful, he'd be richly blessed. I want to tell you, you feel like there's injustice? It's a pause button only. Just don't quit or die or run out in front of a train. Just hang in there. You'll be okay. Because the Bible says if you work your tail off, you'll get blessed. Simple. And God's the one who said it. So work hard. Whatever your job is, don't work the job thinking you have to have a future at that job. You may not even like your job. Just work your tail off at that job and God will promote you because God's your boss. You may report to somebody else, but they're nobody. They're nobody. God's your boss, and he's watching, and he says he'll reward diligent work. It's really good news for us, because sometimes we don't like our bosses, and sometimes our bosses don't, you know, reward us the way that we think that we could, should. But the Lord does, and he's really watching. It's a justice issue, because he said it. It's not an isolated idea or an isolated passage. We don't have time to go into them all. You go find the others. If this one's striking a chord with you and you're like, yeah, I want my promotion. Well, go read the other 50 verses that talk about the same idea. And then go after it and believe the Lord. And don't quit. It's an issue of justice because he spoke it. Faithfulness in prayer. It's the same way in prayer, folks. It's the same way. Look what John 14 says. 14:12. I tell you the truth. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing. They'll do even greater things than these. Because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name. And I'll do it. This implies that you love Jesus, that your motives are purified, and that you're following the Lord and asking him for his will in your life. Not, I want everyone to trip on Tuesdays. Lord, let the whole planet have trip Tuesdays. The Lord's not going to answer that one. It's not in his playbook. But if you pray, and you're like, Lord, I want you glorified. There's some things I need in my life. There's some things I want to see. Pray them. These are Jesus' words. I mean, it's like, Jesus really put himself in a box here. I mean, He boxed himself in the corner of that ring. We're coming at him. You say to Jesus, Jesus, you said. You said, if I ask, if I pray in your name, I'm doing the best I can to follow you. I'm trying. I love you, God. I'm trying here. You said, if I pray in your name, you may ask me for anything. In my name, and I'll do it. Lord, then I need you to do your part. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek you. And just so you know, the tense of the word prayer is in the infinitive, meaning pray and keep praying, not ask once half-heartedly. It's pray and keep praying. So you got to pray and keep praying. But this is important to note. The Lord can do this. I've got some crazy stories of seeing the Lord do some of these things, silly things that really he probably should not have done. Just because I was like, Lord, you said, so let's do it. I'm going to pray until this thing happens. And I've seen a couple of those crazy things that it wasn't the original plan from creation, I promise. Like, he changed his mind. Like, he did it. He did the thing. But many of those stories had some time attached to them. Pray and keep praying. It's an issue of justice. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. And here's a great little question. Whatever you're thinking about right now. Lord, can I ask you for that? Just ask him. He may tell you, don't do that. That's not what I want for you. Oh, well, okay. But you might find permission to pray for some crazy stuff. And the Lord might just do it because he says, ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it. It's a justice issue. He's a God who says stuff. Why would he say that? Like, why in the world? What motive, what benefit does God have to write that? Except that it would invite us into a pretty wild, encounter-filled relationship with him. I mean, the only reason that you would really want that written that way is to provoke everyone who reads it to go, oh my gosh, what kind of deal do we have here? God, you're crazy. You're crazy. You say crazy stuff. Ask me for whatever I want in your name and you'll do it. I'm taking you up on it. There are these dares in the scripture. It's a justice issue. He's the one who said it. I mean, it's not. He said it twice in this passage. Actually, three if you read just a little bit further. It's like he writes this concept a lot. It's not an isolated idea. It's a God idea and it's an issue of justice because he said he'd do it. Faithfulness and doing right. Same promise rests on our good works. So now get out of the work environment. Get out of the prayer environment. And think about just serving well. Living godly. Blessing people. Helping people. Serving the kingdom. Look what the scripture says. Galatians 6:9. Just think about it. Think about this as a justice issue. Let us not become weary in doing good. What does doing good mean? I mean, that's a pretty broad state. Doing good. I don't know, probably whatever you think it means plus. I mean, doing good, like living righteously, helping the believers, you know, reaching out, serving in the kingdom, just doing good. Like whatever it is that you can in your heart and mind and in 10,000 verses put together to define doing good. He says, Don't stop that. Keep doing good. Keep doing good. Yeah, do good. It's good to do good. Just do some good. For at the proper time. Now, there is a time. We can learn something about this. At the proper time. A proper time for the reward. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest. If. This is the reason I'm ending with this one. a proper time if we don't give up. Now that means there's a couple of components about how the Lord answers these things, how he shows himself as a God of justice, how he performs his word. There's an if this, then this clause. If you'll do this, then I'll do this. That's the first hurdle. We've got a job to do, whether it's pray or work diligently or do good or whatever else, give. If whatever it is, we've got a job to do. Do this. If you do this, then I'll do this. We've got a job to do. That's the first part. The second part, there's a timing. At the proper time, that which God defines as the proper time, not which you define as the proper time, your proper time would always be 10 seconds after you ask for it, or 9 seconds, but never 11. Immediate. You want to see immediate results. And God says, at the proper time, the Apostle Paul writes it. How many times did Paul see this? At the proper time, proper according to God, there is a timing. There is a timing. It matters. The timing is very important. You don't get to dictate the timing. But at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. I think there are many that give up early. And it can teach us a wrong lesson about the God of justice, actually. Because we didn't do the equation. We started it. But if we don't see it through, because it says if we do not give up, as if to say, if we do give up, shrug. Mm-hmm. If we do not give up, we can't give up. You can't just start the journey. You got to finish it. You got to see it through. I know you're waiting on some promises. You got to keep going. Don't give up. Trust that at the proper time, you'll reap a harvest. I know. There's some delay, there's some pain, there's some of those situations that are not ideal. Just don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Give and it'll be given. Just keep giving. Pray and keep praying. Just keep praying. Labor and it'll be rewarded. Just keep working. Don't give up. Just keep going. This don't give up is another giant piece of his character. The God of great patience. I mean, you know, this idea of Jesus coming to the earth was the idea before there was an earth. How long did God wait to play his ace? I mean, you got generations of people, and the Son of God's just sitting in heaven waiting. Just waiting, biding his time. God doesn't give up. God's patient. And in the proper time, there's a reward. I'll leave you with this. Matthew 25, 21. Just learning to be faithful with our little. Just put your faith here. Whatever it is, you're like, well, I'm praying, but my prayer's not really all that awesome. I'm giving, but it's not really a lot. I don't really have a lot. I'm working as hard as I can, but I'm kind of a doofus. Sometimes I make some mistakes. It says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come share in your master's happiness. The Lord will reward your little. Just be faithful with it. You only got a little faith? Go with it. Only a little strength, only a little wit, only a little money, only a little whatever. Just be faithful with it. Learn to be faithful with your little. Because there's a promise that the Lord sees what you do with your little and he wants to reward it. He sees the little. He promises to reward. I choose to die believing these things. Because this is who God is. And sometimes the pauses are very painful.
But those pauses do not usurp the judge from the throne. Those pauses were put there by God. He's the one who's doing it. And that's a different conversation for you to have with him. Maybe one where you're a little frustrated. But he's in charge. He knows what he's doing. And he's faithful.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.